Amen. Several weeks ago, I was contemplating what I would do in terms of a sermon series for the summer. I like to deviate a little bit from my normal preaching pattern and like to do these thematic sermons from time to time. And I read a book several months ago by Robert Snaes. In fact, I brought it with me today. It's called Five Practices of Fruitful Living. Five Practices of Fruitful Living. As I thought about what it means to live the fruitful life, a fruitful life, what do we mean by that? And Robert Snaes gives five practices that the people of God can practice on a regular basis to be more fruitful, not only in their spiritual lives, but to be more fruitful in their everyday lives, their worldly life, the life that they live in dealing with, you know, life and all the stresses and problems that we have to deal with. And that scripture that I shared with the children from John chapter 15 kept coming back to me and coming back to me about what it means to be a fruitful follower of Jesus. And Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches," he said. "Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." And so as we think about the next 5 weeks, as we think about what it means to be a fruitful Christian, I'd like to take time each Sunday over the next 5 weeks to think about these five practices that can help us be more fruitful, to be more purpose-driven, to be more abundant in our lives, the abundant life and the fulfilling life and the deeper life that Jesus calls us to. Robert Snaes calls the first step in experiencing and developing and cultivating the fruitful life is something he calls radical hospitality. Radical hospitality. Now, what do we mean by radical hospitality? Well, we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. But then next week, we're going to look at what it means to be fruitful in our passionate worship, returning our love to God. And then we're going to look at what it means to have service to God, what it means to serve God in, through missions and outreach. And then we're going to look at intentional faith development. What does it mean to grow as a Christian, to develop our faith, and to be more intentional in our spiritual development? And then finally, we're going to wrap up with something he calls extravagant generosity. So hopefully at the end of these 5 weeks, we'll have a little better idea of what God means for us, the life that God means for us to live and to be more fruitful in our daily lives and in our spiritual walk with Christ. This morning, I want to share with you a scripture that relates well to what we're talking about here. It comes from the Epistle of 1 John, the Epistle of 1 John, 1 John chapter 7 through 19. And John is writing about love and where love comes from. And he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atonement sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed that love, the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. And here's the key verse for today. We love because God first loved us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What does it mean to be a fruitful Christian? What does it mean to live the fruitful life? Robert Snaes, in his books, tells us that the first step in understanding what it means to live a fruitful life is to accept that we are accepted by God. To accept that God has said yes to us. To accept God's love with hospitality. To welcome God's love. To welcome that grace. To welcome that love that God has lavished upon us in Christ Jesus. Saying yes to God, not just one time at the time of salvation, at the time that we came to the altar, at the time that we gave our life to the Lord in the middle of the night or at a revival or whatnot. It's saying yes to God every single day and accepting that acceptance every single day and accepting that God wants to be intimately involved in every circumstance of our lives. The first practice is radical hospitality. Radical hospitality. A willingness to allow God to come into our hearts and to our tables, so to say, to the tables of our heart. This, my friends, can be earth-shaking in our lives. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about life-changing events. Events in our lives that shake us to the core, either positively or negatively. The birth of a child, the birth of your children, certainly is one of those life-changing moments. Of course, there is the negative side, which is, the death of a loved one, or someone killed in a tragic car accident, or someone who receives a very bad doctor's report that they're not going to make it or they're going to die. Those kinds of things shake us to the core. Well, I'd like to think that accepting that we are accepted can have the same effect upon us, can be just as earth-shaking and core-moving as these kinds of things. If we look at the Bible, if we look at the stories of the Bible and how people were struck by grace, and that's a term that Snaes uses in his book, when we're struck by grace, it can be life-changing. Hopefully it is life-changing for us. The Bible is full of stories of people like the Apostle Paul. He was literally knocked off his horse or knocked off his feet. Going down the Damascus Road. You recall the story where, Paul is chasing after Christians, trying to round them up and haul them off to jail and haul them in for punishment. On the road to Damascus, Jesus literally knocks Paul to the ground. And in that moment, Paul is struck by a bright light. And we know that light to be Jesus, but we also know that light to be God's grace. And then from that moment on, the Apostle Paul went on to serve Jesus and wrote almost half of our New Testament. Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus? Kids, you remember Zacchaeus, the little short guy? He had to climb a tree in order to be able to see Jesus. That day, Jesus saw Zacchaeus in the tree. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, one of the most hated people in town because he took the people's money and then skimmed some off the top for himself. And yet Jesus said, "Come on down. I'm going to have supper at your house today." And Zacchaeus became a follower of Jesus. And then, of course, we could go on with the woman at the well who received not real water, but living water. I guess that is real water, isn't it? The real water, living water, where she would never be thirsty again. And then, of course, the woman caught in the act of adultery received grace, struck by grace. But my favorite story and example of being struck by God's grace is the thief on the cross. You know the story of the thieves hanging with Jesus. Actually, they were criminals. And they were dying there on the cross. And one of them curses Jesus. The other recognizes Jesus for who he is. And he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what does Jesus say to this poor soul? "Today you will be with me in paradise." Struck by grace. Accepting that they are accepted. John Wesley had an experience of being struck by grace. Now, John Wesley, of course, you know, is the founder of Methodism. He was an Anglican priest for many years. But on May 14th, 1738, John Wesley was sitting in a church service held by the Moravians. These were German-based Christians in London on Aldersgate Street. John Wesley, here's a priest in the Anglican Church, a professor at Oxford. In that moment, he had a very special experience of grace. He writes in his journal that at about 8:45, I most unwillingly went to a church service on Aldersgate Street. And as the preface to the book of Romans was being read, he writes, and I can't quote it verbatim, he says, "I felt that my heart was strangely warmed." My heart was strangely warmed. Because in that moment, he says, I realized that Christ died for me. Yes, even me. And was given the assurance of eternal life, of salvation. Now here's a man who had been a Christian all his life. Mother and father. Father was a priest. His mother was a great teacher. But yet in that moment, he had a conversion experience, and the grace, he was struck by God's grace with a whole new outlook and a whole new perspective on what it means to be a Christian. And his life became very fruitful, as you know, and went on to start the Methodist Church, the Methodist movement, which came to America eventually. Well, those stories are wonderful. They're well known. We have another story among us that someone would like to share. And I've asked Maria Levitsky to come up and share what it means to her to accept God's acceptance. Maria, you want to come on up and tell us your story, hon? I'll bet get back there.